Well, hello, friends, and welcome to our Thursday edition of Good Morning Live. I pray that you are having a good morning and that you are getting ready for the weekend that's coming up. Now, if you've got little kids in your house like I do, I know every school's a little bit different, but either they are ending school this week or are just getting ready to. Our kids go on Monday and then go for like 2 hours on Tuesday or something like that. So our house is abuzz with all the kids' summer plans that they are telling me that we are going to do. So apparently, my daughter Loretta this morning, I asked her, I said, hey, are you excited to be on summer break and not have school for the whole summer? And she says, oh, Dad, I'm so excited. We're going to go to the beach every day, and then we're going to go to Dutch Wonderland every day. And, you know, I haven't had the heart to break the news to her that, yeah, we'll maybe do it once, but not every day. So anyway, but if you are in that season of life where you have kids who are on summer break, I pray that you have a blessed summer and make those plans. If you didn't listen to it, we did a live teaching last week at some point called your intentional summer. And I really felt like the Lord was saying, you know, this summer for all of us can be powerful. It can be life-changing because whenever you enter into something with intentionality, God has the ability to get involved and to make it impactful so I just encourage you, go back if you haven't watched that live feed. You can find it on all of our social media platforms. But have an intentional summer. Have a summer of purpose, a summer of destiny. Get with the Holy Spirit. Ask Him what it is that you are to do with your time. And man, we had a great service last night at Hope City Church as we gathered for prayer. And then Jen brought the teaching as she finished up her series on Ruth, which was powerful. So if you missed that, all of that again will be released on our social media platforms a little bit later today. So this week, we are gathering around the theme of generosity and giving and sowing seeds and being a blessing to other people. On top of that, we are, as you know, we have gathered this week to increase our partners for the Pioneer Channel. We are in the middle right now of a season of extreme growth. Good morning, Cheryl. Good morning, Tanisha. But we have been in a season of extreme growth when it comes to what God's doing here through the Pioneer Channel. So much so that we have to upgrade the platforms on where we are that sends our signals and gives us broadband and all of that other stuff. So until we sign for that package, which we can do at any point, I'm just believing the Lord that we're going to reach our halfway point with monthly partnerships. And until we reach that point, I don't want to sign that contract because I said to the Lord, we've always been a debt-free ministry, so we want to maintain that. So until that, our apps are currently down right now for the Pioneer channel. And my prayer is that we would reach that half partnership level today, that we would hit that 20 partnership mark today and be able to sign that agreement and get everything back up and running with the bandwidth and everything else that we need in order to make that happen. So we're going to hop into the word in just a minute, but just my little on top pitch here is if you have not ever become a Pioneer Network monthly partner, text the word partner to 717-500-3575, and we can get you signed up with your $25 monthly love gift for this month. We want to put Pastor Rod Parsley's newest book, Revival If, into your hand as our way of saying thank you for partnering with us. But we're in the middle of a miracle. We're in the middle of lots of people tuning in to watch the Pioneer Channel. Again, all of that's been on the back of us launching on Zipwave TV, Tugo TV, and the Armed Forces Network. As a result of those new platforms, people are tuning in more than ever, and we want to keep that going. So if you haven't done so, would you prayerfully consider partnering with us? And I trust it'll bless your life as it helps bless other people. All right. So all that information is on your screen the whole time. You can do that by texting that word partner. All right. Well, as we've themed around this subject of generosity, I want to encourage you today, because you may not have a correct understanding of what you are, but I'm here to help you with that. You are not a reservoir. You are a river. Come on. You are a river. You do not live with clenched fists, but you live with open hands. And I'm believing that by the end of this teaching today, that we would choose to live a generous life, because we trust the giver of every good thing. You know, I heard it preached years ago, is that where water isn't moving, you get something disgusting, right? Like if you go to a swamp or a pond where there's no movement of water, what grows in there is gross and disgusting, and actually many times has the potential to kill. Like you know, in a swamp, like fish can't survive there. Why? Because they need life-giving water. Because when water starts moving, it starts to kill certain bacteria. It keeps it fresh, right? Like you don't want to drink out of a swamp. You want to drink out of a stream or a creek where water is moving, right? And sometimes in the life of a believer, we can turn into a swamp unintentionally, and we can hold on to what God is saying, let go. And whenever we hold on, what do? We bring in the sides of the banks of our river and stop the outflow of that thing. And now suddenly what was meant to flow out to bring life and hope, to bring refreshing, to bring life-giving substance to those who would receive it, has now been gathered up to ourselves, and where there's no movement, there's no life. So today I believe we are going to choose the life of the generous. We're going to choose to be an outsource of life-giving water. I talked a little bit about this yesterday, but it's worth repeating. As you know, the scripture, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." The gospel, the hope of humanity, the answer to humanity's problem, all begin with giving. What does it say? For God so loved that he gave. God had a problem. He created Adam and Eve in the garden. They were his workmanship. They were the apple of his eye. They were his friends, if you will. He would come down in the cool of the day and talk and fellowship with them. But you know the story. Sin got in the way and mankind was separated from God. So now God had a problem. He loved humanity and wanted it restored. But he understood that the only way that this could happen is to plant a seed, to be a giver. So God loved the world that he gave the most precious thing he could, his very own son. The gospel message begins with giving. Everything we have, our breath, our strength, our salvation, is because and as a result of a generous God. God, generous God. He's a giving God. Hey, good morning, Lindsay. Good morning, Stu. Good to see you. So we'll also go back to Genesis, and discover that we were created in the image of God. You know what that means? We were created to give. We were created to be generous. So I believe that generosity, I need to drink my coffee. I'm getting tongue-tied all day today. I believe that generosity is a heart issue. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Here's what I've discovered about God, is God is less concerned about the amount of the gift as he is the attitude of the gift. We can see that from the widow woman who came and put her little coins in the offering in the temple. And which is interesting that Jesus is sitting in the temple watching people give their offerings, right? But he's sitting in the temple watching people give their offerings. And he turns to his disciples and says, this woman has given more than any of the elite, any of the rich. Why? Because she gave out of her need. It was the attitude of her heart. What we have to know is God is never looking at the amount. He is looking at the attitude. He's looking for obedience. He's looking that we would trust him. That's why I shy away from ever putting out in front of people, well, you know, here's the amount that God's telling you to give. No, that's between you and the Lord. What I tell people is he's not concerned about the amount. He's concerned about your attitude. True generosity flows from love, from trust, and joy. Not pressure, not pride. Do you know you can give out of pride? You know, sometimes, listen, I've had to be challenged with this because I'm a giver. I love to give. If I got it, I'm giving it. Where I've had to be challenged, though, sometimes in my life where trusted people in my life will say, listen, I don't know that you're 100% giving because God told you to give, or you're giving because you have a savior complex and are trying to save everybody. I had to really challenge myself in that because sometimes I found that I'm not giving because the Lord directed me to give. I'm giving because out of my own self, wanting just to save everything. Right now, so what am I saying? I'm saying is when it comes to our giving, when it comes to being generous, when it comes to planting seed, when it comes to blessing other people, it always has to be this out of this heart relationship with the Lord. It has to always come out of the overflow of our love for God and our trust for him and the joy of serving him and serving his people, never out of pressure or out of our own self-pride. Why? Because God's not concerned about the amount. God is concerned about the attitude. See, two people can give the same amount, but one would give out of a place of joy, but the other out of a place of guilt. And you know the difference there? One produces kingdom fruit, and the other was just a transaction. One will produce kingdom fruit, and one was just a transaction. Listen, God's not interested in your transaction. He's interested in your heart. We have so adopted this theology in the American church that God has become some type of genie where, you know, if we rub the bottle just right, he'll come and grant our wishes. Like, you know, if we attend church just enough, then we feel like God's on our side and he'll do what we want. If we pray, it's not out of relationship with God, but it's out of trying to strong arm him into blessing our will. And we don't give out of a generous heart of an overflow of love for God and the love for his people and the love for the world. No, we do it out of this, well, hey, I got $10 in the plate and I'm getting my return on it. So I'm watching the clock. Where's my return? Right? One will produce kingdom fruit, and one will be just a transaction. I'm here to teach you today. I'm not here even just to raise partnerships for the network. I'm here to teach you today that God is interested in the attitude around your giving. Why? Because it's never been about the amount. It's never been about the money. It's never been, listen, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He created the universes. Come on, like you think that your checking account is going to move the throne of God? Like, come on, when the disciples needed money, he said, just go fishing. I'll put some coins in the fish's mouth and it'll pay for everything you need. Right? Like, I've settled in ministry a long time ago. If it's God's will, then it is God's bill. I'm not stressing about it. I'm not carrying a burden about it. If God wants us to do television, then we'll do it and he'll pay for it, right? I don't need to strong arm anybody to give. I don't need to try to persuade anybody to give. I'm just going to do what God's called us to do and trust that he makes up the difference. And the same thing is true in your life. Is God doesn't need your money. What he's after is your heart, because remember what the Bible said, that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, so many people have taken that out of context and they have said, well, that's why God wants everyone to be poor and doesn't want us to have you know, money or to be blessed in finances. No, that's not what he's saying. Money's not evil. Money's an object. An object can't be good or evil. But in the hands of somebody who has a negative heart or a positive heart, that object becomes good or evil, right? So he didn't say money was evil. He said the love of money was evil. So when you have an over attachment to money and finances and gathering wealth up and gathering things up, and I'm not saying, listen, that you have to also be a good steward of what God provides. I'm not saying you don't have a savings. I'm not saying, you know, we just throw it all away and just, you know, wait for manna to fall. I'm not saying that. You need to have a savings. You need to have a, you know, retirement. You need to think about those things. It's not what I'm saying. But there's a difference in that and somebody who has a root issue with generosity. Why? Because they love money. So what does God do? He comes in and says, you know what? You want to trust me with your salvation. I need to make sure I have your whole heart and that nothing else has your heart but me. And for many, many people, the love of money is the untouchable thing. Like, listen, I can preach about prayer. I can preach about anything else from this book, right? Church is on board, but a pastor starts talking about money. Man, your email inbox fills up. Talk to me about anything else, but don't talk to me about money. But I think that very reason is why God says, listen, I want your whole heart. Something else has your heart. You can't serve two masters. The Bible says you will either love the one and hate the other. So he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to test you. I'm going to require you to be a generous person, to be that overflow, to be that stream where things are leaving your life and they're leaving your hand and you're being generous to the people around you. You're looking for needs that you can meet. You're helping ministries who are making an impact, but you're also helping your neighbor and you're helping the poor and the orphan and the widow. Right? You're helping all of these things. Why? Because it's not necessarily that God couldn't take care of that on his own, because he absolutely could. It's he wants to see what has your heart. Is it him? Or is it your pocketbook? I dare say, I mean, I know our church. I believe we have one of the most generous churches on earth. I really do. But I think in all of us, you know, sometimes we'll get our savings up and I hear the Lord say, hey, I want you to plant a seed. I want you to give. I want you to help that person. I want you to do this. And it's like, come on, God. But again, and again, I'm framing this off of the context of everything that we've talked about in this whole week, is that you can't outgive God. That when you begin to plant and you begin to sow, there is biblical currency here in meaning that when you plant, God says, he'll press it down, shake it together, and run it back over into your life. That when it leaves your hand, it doesn't leave your life. It just leaves your hand, and it'll come back into your life, pressed down and shaken together, right? So frame this in context of that. But often it is a heart test to say, what has you? My mom used to say, you know, we were pretty poor growing up. And, you know, she'd see somebody getting a new house or a car. And, you know, as a single mom of five kids, and sometimes it would be a challenge to say, well, God, how comes, you know, we're still struggling? And I remember one day sitting in the car, she said, you know what? I was really struggling with, you know, seeing as we had these neighbors that were really, really mean to us. They were not kind people. And I remember her saying, I'm really struggling to see, it seems like they're prospering. And, you know, here we are trusting the Lord and struggling. And I remember her saying out of her mouth randomly one day, and it stuck with me all these years, she said, but you know what? Their new car is going to burn up. I said, what do you mean? She goes, in the end, the Bible says that the whole heaven and earth will, or the earth will be destroyed, not heaven, but the earth will be destroyed by fire, and God will create a new heaven and earth. So she said that, and looking back now, it's like a 1989, you know, Cavalier or something, you know, that's been long in a junkyard and crushed. But you understand, but what the point is that all of our material possessions, when we leave this earth, none of it goes with us, and everything that remains on this earth will burn one day. Now, again, I'm not saying that God is against you having nice things and good things. Of course, he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. That's your Bible. He takes pleasure in you prospering, right? He takes pleasure in you being able to lend to people and not borrow. He takes pleasure. You're his kids. How much do you want the best for your kids? And you want, you know, your kids to prosper, and you want them to not want, and you want them to have what it is that they need. But on the same hand, I'm sure you wouldn't want snotty-nosed, bratty kids who have an entitlement personality who's just like, well, demanding, give it, give it. No, you want kids who are generous and kids who know how to have resource and know how to bless other people, but also know how to steward well what they have, right? And the same would be the heart of God towards you. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have more than enough so that you can overflow and give out of your excess to other people. You can bless other people. The script Bible also says, he who does not provide for those of his own house has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Which is God saying, listen, you got to provide for your own house. You got to pay your own bills. You got to take care of your car payment. I mean, you got to provide for your own house. You got to make sure there's food on the table. So you can't live up to the call of God to be generous the way he's called us to be if we're stuck in a poverty mindset, or we're stuck around the love of money. So I believe God wants to free us. But the often way that God frees us from the love of money, come on, I bet you can see where I'm going, is calling us to give it away. Is saying, will you release what is in your hand so that I, God says, so that I can release what's in my hand towards. Again, just because it leaves your hand doesn't mean it leaves your life. Generosity doesn't deplete you. It positions you. We talked about the scripture yesterday found in Luke where it says, when you give, it'll be given back unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Do you know what that is? That is a position. That is a positioning. Generosity doesn't deplete us. It positions us to receive in abundance. So our giving, because we're giving out of obedience, we're giving out of a right heart, we're giving with a cheerful heart, we are, you know, being obedient to what God calls us to do. And on the other side of your obedience is always reward, and is always blessing. So your giving becomes a magnet for God's provision. That's why I said you cannot outgive God. You know, one of the main reasons that this ministry, the Pioneer Channel, is blessed is because when we started, we found people who could not afford to put their program on the air. And we said, you know what? I'm going to sow a seed. I'm going to sow a seed, and we're going to give you free airtime for a period of time as our way of sowing into other ministry. I've told you before how when COVID happened and we were just trying to start the Pioneer Channel, you know, we partnered with another ministry who had no resource, had no cameras, had, you know, weren't up and streaming. And we said, you know, we're going to take what we have and do everything we can to bless them, to get them up, to get them streaming so that they can keep their ministry afloat. And I believe because we did those things, we have become a magnet for the blessing of God. So much so that networks are calling us saying, can we air your channel? Which has put us to where we are today, where we're having so many viewers watching that we need to upgrade our services to keep up with the demand of all of it. So your giving becomes a magnet for God's provision. When you give in faith, you're not making a donation. You are making a divine exchange. A divine exchange. I'm not just throwing some money in the plate or just some money over here. No, I'm making a divine exchange. I am participating in the kingdom strategies of heaven. Listen, generosity breaks the spirit of mammon. The spirit of mammon would say, hold on to what you have. There's not enough. You need to protect yourself. But generosity declares, God is my source. And there's more where that came from. Come on, the spirit of mammon says, hold on to what you have. There's not enough. Generosity declares that God is my source. There's more where that came from. That's why God calls us to be generous and to be givers and to sow and to bless. Why? Because it's declaring that money will never be my source. My job will never be my source. I am not boxed in from what my boss says my value is. God is my source. That's why Matthew 6:24 says you cannot serve God and money. And here's what I found. You can't break the power of money by saving more. You break the power of money by giving in obedience. I wish I could break the power of money by just saving more. But often it's when I release it. Why? Because I'm saying to the Lord, I trust you. And lastly, generosity is a kingdom weapon. You know, we have far overlooked sometimes the weapons of our warfare. Generosity is a kingdom weapon. Generosity does not just meet needs, it destroys strongholds. I'm going to say that again. Generosity doesn't just meet needs, it destroys strongholds. Look at the Pioneer Channel, for example, that right now, somebody in the Navy on a ship in the middle of the ocean, feeling disconnected, feeling hopeless, feeling broken, feeling whatever, can log on and watch the Pioneer Channel and hear the gospel and find hope, be reconnected to God. We've received letters and testimonies from people like this all the time. But you know how that happens? Because somebody came in front of them. Somebody came before them and was generous and gave to and enabled this network to do what it's doing. So that gift that people came before us and gave to provide the cameras and the lighting and the studio and the equipment and the, you know, all the stuff that sends our signals out to satellites and cable networks and everywhere else that it's going, somebody came first and gave, and that gift is destroying strongholds. That's why I say whenever we take territory, we take new ground, whenever we start adding homes, I never want us to get to a place of, oh yeah, I mean, we added 5 million more homes. Like I told you yesterday, the company we're working with said, you know what, we're going to give you $15,000 of bonus stuff. And then somebody said, you know what, we want you on the Samsung TVs to have your apps on there, which is about $12,000 on its own. Somebody said, you get your apps back up and running, we will take care of that $12,000. You know, every time somebody watches the Pioneer Network on a Samsung television, it is a direct result of that person who stepped up and said, we will give the $12,000 to make sure that this network is on those television screens. And I, you know, that gives us access to millions and millions of more people. And I never want us to be a place out of it as a network where we say, oh yeah, it's just numbers. It's just millions upon millions. Right now we stream into 155 million homes. I never want us to settle at that number, because that is 155 million souls. Now there's usually more than one person in a home. So you multiply that by whatever that ratio would, you know, be. So when we say we're taking strongholds, we are taking strongholds because we're taking hearts and lives, or bringing the good news of the gospel. So generosity doesn't just meet needs, it destroys strongholds. It breaks the back of poverty and greed and selfishness. It lifts people out of despair and into destiny. Listen, like I said, this gospel was started through generosity of the Father. You are most likely here as a result of somebody else's generosity. I mean, here in the aspect of being a believer and a follower of Jesus. Well, let me phrase it this way. If you heard the gospel in a church, you're here because of somebody else's generosity. Why? Because somebody came before you and they purchased those chairs and they paid for that electric to be on. They put carpet in that building. They paid to make sure that the pastor could be there to preach that gospel, right? You heard the gospel on a radio station. Somebody came before you and sowed a seed so that you could hear. You received a Bible and received salvation that way. It's typically because somebody was generous and gave that Bible. Again, trace back. And if you say, well, my grandmother told me, well, how did your grandmother hear? I'm going to promise you, it follows itself back to somebody came before you and sowed a generous seed, which caused the gospel to be spread to you or to your grandmother or to a family member that got that gospel to you. And you stand here on the back of somebody else's generosity that was released in your life. And I'm here to tell us today, do not be a swamp. Let's be a stream of life-giving resource that continues to spread the gospel to other people. Now, listen, if you've already determined in your heart that you're not called to be a Pioneer Network partner, that's fine. The Lord will provide, but you are still called to be a generous believer. You are still called to take care of the strangers, orphans, widows. You are still called to plant seeds in the kingdom of God. You are still called. Your purpose on this earth, your main purpose on this earth is to expand the kingdom of God to the best of your ability. And that comes through generosity. It comes through prayer. It comes through obedience. It comes through the power of Pentecost. But it comes on the back of generosity. It comes on the back of people, the people of God rising up and says, we cannot gatekeep, if you will, this gospel. We got to open the gates and allow the gospel to flood forward, flood out, that every person would hear, every ear would hear, every eye would see. Acts 10:4 says, your prayers and your alms, which means their giving, has ascended as a memorial before God. This is speaking of Cornelius, and it's saying that Cornelius's giving got God's attention and brought salvation to his whole household. Why? Because he didn't gatekeep. He didn't gatekeep, but he flung open the gates. He said, I'll be generous because this gospel, everywhere. So again, I'd love if you partnered with us to help us continue to take this gospel around the world. You can do that by texting the word partner to 717-500-3575. But I'm also releasing this word into your life because God has called you to be a generous person. And here's what I want to say to you. If you are in a place of life right now where you're saying, well, Pastor, I don't even know how I'm getting the bills, you know, paid next week and keeping the lights on next week, you can start being generous today. You give your way out of that situation. You want promotion. You need a better job. You start giving your way to a better job. You start sowing seeds to a better job. You start planting into the fertile soil of the kingdom of God and watch God turn around. You might say, well, I got 50 cents. All right, well, first of all, you need to make sure that tenth goes to the house of God, because the Bible says if you're not tithing and being a tither, then there's already a curse, right? But you can figure out with that 50 cents, you can figure out what's in your closet, you can figure out with what's in your cupboard. You can do like that widow woman who had that very last meal. And she said, here's my plan. I'm going to bake it. I'm going to give it to my son, and then we're going to die. But the prophet came in and said, listen, if you release what's in your hand, God will release what's in his hand concerning you, which is more than you could ever hope, think, or imagine. She gave her way out of death. The decree over her life was, you don't have enough substance to survive. Death is your destiny. But she gave her way out of that death sentence. She utilized what was in her hand. She didn't have any cash to give, but she had some bread. And I'm here to say, you can make a loaf of bread and give it to your neighbor and say, God, this is what I have. This is the substance that's in my hand, and I'm going to sow it. I'm going to give it. I'm going to pray over that bread. I'm going to make the best bread that I can make. Don't burn one and have one good one and you give away the burnt one. No. You give away that blessed one, that good one. and you say, Lord, this is a seed. I need financial breakthrough. I need turnaround. I need a job. I need promotion. And you just keep figuring out every day what you can give, what you can sow. And I promise you, this is all in your Bible. When you become a generous giver, we just read it, Cornelius's gift, one up as a memorial before God, and salvation came to his whole household. Salvation means to be saved or delivered from the hand of the enemy. Your marriage, your home, your children, all of it can ride on the back of being a generous person and being a giver. Again, so I'm not bringing these messages this week to try to convince you to become a Pioneer Network partner. You pray about that and you take that up with the Lord. And if God says to do it, then text that word partner to the number on your screen. But outside of that, come on, you need breakthrough in your life. You need deliverance in your life. You need turnarounds in your life. You need jobs and promotions. You need the blessing of God on you. You cannot outgive God. You start where you are today. Quit putting off excuses. Quit dwelling in a pity party that I don't have what they have and I don't have this. You figure out, you go to your garden and you cut those most beautiful flowers that you have. You tie them up in a bow and you find somebody who needs encouragement and you give them to them as a seed of encouragement into their life. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying is you will never find the excuse that you have nothing, no seed to plant. Listen, and if you don't have seed to plant, if you're like, I literally have nothing that I can give, guess what the Bible says? That he gives seed to the sower. Seed to the sower. Then you sit there and you say, God, I want to start the process of generosity in my life. I want to be a giver. Now, I have nothing that I can figure out to give. So would you give me something that I could give and what God will bring? I've done this. I have said, listen, I want to sow. I've said this to the Lord. I said, I want to sow $1,000 seed into another ministry, and I want to do that. Now, God, you said you'd give seed to the sower. So I'm going to pray and, Lord, ask that you would give me the seed to sow. You know what? Time and time again, it has happened. $1,000 check comes, somebody gives to me, and I, you know what the temptation is? Well, no. This isn't that. this $1,000 is for our savings, or this is for that. And God says, no, I gave you that you asked for, and I said I would give seed to the sower. That's right. Cheryl just says, we can give of our time, our talents, and our resources. Absolutely. And often, again, what your goal here is God wants you blessed. I don't care. If any preacher is telling you that God doesn't want you blessed and God doesn't want you to prosper, I'm sorry, they're wrong. Now, any preacher that's saying that, you know, God wants you to live in, hoard up resource for yourself and drive a Rolls Royce and, you know, just be a money hungry person is wrong as well. But God wants you blessed enough in your life that you can further the kingdom of God by sowing seeds. But you can't do that if you can't take care of your own bills. You understand what I'm saying? So the goal in this, if you're sitting here today and you say, listen, I don't have nothing to give, then you start by sowing your time, your energy. You start by your talents. What can you make? But what your goal here is you're giving your way out of where you are. Because that's certainly not God's will, to be in a place of life where you're saying, I can't give when God calls me to give. I can't help my neighbor who's struggling, or I can't help a relative down the road. I can't do that. Not the will of God. So you say, well, right here, God, we're going to start this giving process, and I'm going to give my way out of this situation. God, I'm going to give to a better job. I'm going to give. And you figure out, Lord, and here's the thing about it is you don't need a preacher to come and tell you a five-step of if you give $10 today and $20 tomorrow, you're going to give your, no, you don't need that. You have the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of you. You can get with God and say, Lord, what is it? What can I give today What can I sow today? And when you start the process of generosity in your life, it will always release the blessing of God on you. Here's where people get stuck, is they get to a level and they stop. They get the raise, they get the promotion, they get whatever. And they stop. I've been pastoring for 21 years. And can I tell you how many times I have watched people receive the blessing of God and they get a summer house, they get a boat, they get something. And the next thing I know is they start, as a result, you know, they're spending every weekend on those devices and they start pulling away from the church. And hear my heart on this. It is not wrong to have a boat. It's not wrong to have a summer house. It's not wrong to have a cabin. None of those things are wrong until they have you. And I have watched so many people that suddenly it was supposed to be, hey, pastor, we'll be gone because, you know, we're going to take a few weeks up at the vacation house, but we'll be watching online. Great. Great. Enjoy it. Spend time. Do it. If you can do it, do it. But can I tell you how many times I have watched people because they begin to disconnect, that what was supposed to be a blessing in their life, suddenly it's been 3 years. And it's not that they're just not attending our church. They're not attending any church anywhere. What happened is they gave their way to a certain level. And then what was meant to be a blessing into their life suddenly had them. And it pulled them out of the promises of God. Again, that's why I don't care how much, I don't care how much blessing you get on your life. You increase your giving to match that blessing. Why? Because you never want to become dependent. You never want to be a slave to money or to things. Our hearts belong to God and God alone, not people, not money, not substance, not our hearts belong to God. Now hear this, preacher. I am not saying that God does not want to bless you with good things. He wants to give you, the Bible says, the desires of your heart. But he wants your heart. So today I just pray over you that Father, any person right now who, Lord, feels stuck in a season of life, feels stuck in a cycle of poverty, feels stuck in a cycle of just having enough, feels stuck in a cycle of a job that just is, they've just kind of hit the ceiling in that and they don't know how to get out, Father, you've given the answer in your word. You said, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together and running over. We understand that giving is the language of heaven. Giving is the strategy of heaven. Giving is the currency of heaven. So Father, I pray today that for every person who feels stuck in that hamster wheel cycle, that today you would speak to them about becoming a generous person. Being people who just find ways to bless and honor and give to other people. And we give you praise for it, Father. And we expect to see the blessing of God. Generosity releases the blessing of God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. So thank you for being on with us today. I appreciate it. And like I said, I want you to go before the Lord and prayerfully consider, am I called to be a monthly partner with Pioneer Channel? If the Holy Spirit says yes to you, then I want you to text the word partner to 717-500-3575. Stand with us. Help us meet that viewership demand that's been put on us and continue to spread this gospel around the world. As our thank you, we've said we want to get you Rod Parsley's new book, Pentecost If. It'll bless your life. So go ahead and text that number. Go to our website at any point. PTNnow.com. And I trust that all of this blessing. Thanks for being on with me today. We will be back on the air a little bit later today as we continue this share-a-thon, as we continue to witness a miracle unravel in front of our very eyes. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, be blessed. Go with God and have an amazing day.